Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Hello and welcome to Circling the Bases, proudly presented by RotoWorld and NBC Sports. I'm DJ Short. And with me here is Eric Samulski. We're live on Twitch right now. Thanks for tuning in. And for those of you listening in podcast form or watching later on our YouTube channel, we are recording on Monday afternoon, another busy weekend of MLB action behind us. And by the way, Eric, the last time we did this show, we were kind of recapping the trade deadline. The Mets sold, the Angels bought, the Diamondbacks got a closer, the Reds are a contender. All four of those teams have lost six in a row coming into today, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. We did also say the Red Sox didn't do enough at the deadline, and they had a pretty atrocious weekend. So, yeah, we've seen again, there's still time left, so there's time for those teams to, you know, flip things around. But we've seen the playoff race shift, you know, pretty sizably in just a week time, 6 day time.
Yeah, I believe the Angels are like seven out of a wild card spot right now, which is pretty crazy. I think we all knew in the end maybe that would look foolish what they did, but you also understood why they were going for it, because after this year. You have Mike Trout. Yes, Otani's probably leaving. You have Mike Trout in kind of a point of his career now where, yes, he's a no doubt Hall of Famer, but how healthy can he be as he goes to, you know, to his mid-30s? Is this going to be the dark ages for the Angels? Darker than it's already been? Like, maybe so, right?
Yeah, I don't know what's darker than having the best player in baseball, who for a long time was Mike Trout, and now is Shohei Ohtani, and having done nothing with it.
Yeah, nothing to show for it.
They may be facing some pretty sad years, but at least I guess fans will know going into those years that they're going to be sad years, and they won't have the devastation of not making it.
Right. Speaking of nothing to show for it, Chase Silseth yesterday was awesome. 12 strikeout game against the Mariners. I know the Angels lost in extra innings, but he's been awesome since rejoining the rotation. Had a 10 strikeout game against the Yankees. Then Tuesday, he really pitched well against the Braves, and the Braves had some really flattering comments about Silseth's stuff after the game. So then to come out and pitch like he did on Sunday, I mean, I think he's a must add pretty much anywhere at this point.
Yeah, I think the only thing standing in his way is when Griffin Cannon comes back, what do the Angels do? I mean, on the surface, it seems logical you keep Silseth in the rotation. Yeah. But who really knows how that's going to shake out? You know, I covered Silseth in my column on RotoWorld called Mixing It Up, where I look at pitch mix changes. On July 25th, he came back up before. And a big component of this is that he had reshaped a slider, which he was throwing under 84.7 miles an hour. And when he came back up, he's been throwing it now just over 80 miles an hour. He's been getting way more drop and horizontal movement on it, and it's getting just way more swings and misses. Mm-hmm. And it's become a pretty dynamic pitch for him, which has really kind of upped, you know, the arsenal with a good fastball and some other pitches to round out kind of a deeper arsenal. It's giving him that kind of, I don't want to say elite yet, but the makings of an elite pitch. And he was a really good prospect too. So, you know, there's no reason why this can't be a real thing.
So we're going to get to our kind of lead topic for the day here in a minute. Before we do that, though, the NFL season quickly approaching, and now is the perfect time to get your Roto-World Fantasy Football draft guide. Get ready for your draft and stay one step ahead of your league during the preseason with updated player rankings, profiles, projections, mock drafts, and more. Go to nbcsports.com/draft guide and use our promo code DRAFT2023 to save 20% at checkout. Again, the promo code DRAFT2023. Go to nbcsports.com/draft guide. So we are a little over two-thirds through the season at this point, but we're getting to the home stretch as far as fantasy playoffs, getting geared up, trying to finish strong here. So you're still in the mix in September. So it's time to make some tough decisions. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And the way I pitched it to you, Eric, is who are you breaking up with? I know there's the excuse sometimes, the famous Seinfeld episode where the woman George is dating uses the "it's not you, it's me" routine. Yeah. Well, in this case, it's definitely you, player we drafted with high expectations who haven't worked out, or maybe they got off to a hot start and they've struggled since then. But like I said, time to make some tough decisions mm-hmm. as you try to finish out the season. The brand name maybe not as appealing as, you know, an up and coming kind of player, and that's what we'll get into today.
Yes, it's tough, and I think, you know, I'll start off with a guy because I think he introduces another reason why you might be breaking up with somebody, which is the "in another world, this would be perfect, and we're great together, but it just isn't that world right now." And I felt that way this weekend with Josh Naylor, which is like, look, I love everything you're doing for me. I would love for this to work, but he's got a 3 to 6 week timetable on that strained oblique. And if you're playing in a league like the NFBC where you don't have an IL, that's a tough hold. Because sure, maybe he's back in 3 weeks, but if he's back in 6 weeks, you know, you're looking at the middle of September. So if you're cautious here, you're saying that you'll get Naylor back the beginning of September. Well, if I'm competing for a playoff spot in a league, or sorry, not a playoff spot, but if I'm competing for money in a league, I don't know that I can have him on my bench for 4 weeks with no IL spot. So I think in IL leagues, you're still trying to hold him because he's been really good, and I think he'll continue to be good. But oblique injuries are tough, and they tend to take on the longer side of that recovery. And I think if you're in it this year, it's just really hard to hold on to him. And he was a tough cut for me in a lot of leagues this weekend.
Yeah, and that's a good point about the injuries. Certainly, you know, even if you have two IL spots, that can be tough, and you have to make some decisions about what makes the most sense at this point of the season. You also have to think about players who have been a bit banged up. Maybe they're eventually just eliminated from playoff contention. Maybe they just shut it down early. He's not one of the players on my list, but I have a concern about Starling Marte with the Mets. Been banged up all year. He had double groin surgery during the off season, and it has mentioned like that's been hard for him this year, just kind of getting back to normal. We know he has this migraine condition too that he's been dealing with here. Now the speed is the reason you keep him, so I don't think you drop him yet, but I could see realistically once the Mets are out of it that Marte maybe shuts it down or maybe plays a couple times a week, but just be ready for that. One player I do want to talk about here is Carlos Correa. Of course, almost signed with the Giants, almost signed with the Mets, then returned to the Twins 6 years, $200 million. He did have a go-ahead RBI single on Sunday against the Diamondbacks, but even keeping that in mind, it's pretty shocking. Correa is hitting just .221, 12 home runs, .675 OPS, over 101 games. The strikeout rate is up this year. The barrel rate is down. Hitting the ball on the ground more also He's grounded into a league high 22 double plays this season. The sprint speed also down significantly. We know he's not a speed player. He actually hasn't. This is pretty I don't know if it's surprising, but to like see it on the baseball reference page is crazy. Correa hasn't stolen a base since 2019. He has 6 stolen bases total dating back to 2016. Crazy. So you don't even have the speed to fall back on. You know, if the guy's struggling, like an Andrés Giménez, like, you know, he's probably going to run. He's been awful this year, but I probably wouldn't drop Giménez, but I would drop Correa because he's not even hitting for power really right now. The Twins gave him a shot out of the leadoff spot for a little bit, but they've given up on that idea recently too. So I just don't really see a lot to be optimistic about with Correa right now.
I was willing to forgive Correa a lot early in the season because
track record.
Yeah, track record. And it's just like he's still hitting fourth in what I thought was a good lineup. I couldn't wrap my head around the fact that he wasn't going to be solid at some point. And it's there's just, like you're saying, there's not much. He's not giving you much other than name value. And I know it's really hard to cut guys like that. But, like, you know, 220 with 12 home runs, like, what are you getting there? You're not getting anything. And sure, like, he could have a huge September and you're kicking yourself. But I think you got to make the best decision for your team in the moment right now.
Right, exactly. And, you know, the thing about this late in the year is that anybody can have a good 3 weeks, you know? And I think mostly it's about look at what you need on your roster right now. Mm-hmm. You know, do you need speed? Do you need batting average? Whatever that might be, like, chase that. Don't chase the name. And that's kind of really the point of this exercise.
Yeah. Another guy I held on to for a really long time, and this is – he was giving us one thing that doesn't help at all in fantasy, but it looks really good on a StatCast page. And it was Seiya Suzuki. And for the longest time, there was no production, but the barrel rate was so high and the hard hit rates were so high. And you kept saying, okay, he's hitting the ball hard. Eventually, that has to turn into production.
Yeah.
And I have to hold. But since June 1st, that's 48 games for him. That's 210 plate appearances. He's hitting .214 with a .310 slugging percentage.
Crazy.
He has 3 home runs and 4 stolen bases in that time. I know WAR isn't a fantasy category in most leagues, but it gives us a little perspective of Cubs players who have at least 150 plate appearances over that span. He is the worst hitter by WAR, and he has a negative 11 offensive WAR over that span. He's losing playing time to Mike Tauchman. He sat 3 straight games. Yeah. So I think it was almost a blessing in disguise that the Cubs finally started to sit him, because I think you were holding on to him thinking, if they're going to keep playing him, maybe we'll get production. Well, now they're not even really playing him regularly anymore. I think – am I willing to buy back in next year? Sure. Like, I think we saw with Ha-Sung Kim, like, it takes guys from some of these international leagues a few years to click. But I think you can't wait for, say, a Suzuki anymore as far as, you know, 2023 goes.
Yeah, and the Cubs are – they've played themselves back into a wild card or maybe division contender here. So every game is of utmost importance. We're probably going to see Suzuki sit more often, or at least, you know, part of the time moving forward. And, you know, if he gets hot, that'll change. But for now, you're not playing for potential. You're paying for what you can get right at this moment.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
My next breakup here is one that had a really good honeymoon phase, I would say, Mitch Keller. So first 10 starts the season, he looked like the breakout guy that we thought he could be. 2.44 ERA, 77 strikeouts through his first 10 starts. Just looked like a burgeoning ace potential. He did make the All-Star team as the Pirates representative. But last 13 starts, 5.92 ERA. Big difference here, home runs, 13 home runs in 76 innings. He allowed just 5 home runs through his first 62 and two-thirds innings. Tied his career high with 8 runs allowed against the Brewers last week. He's now been hit up for 6 runs in 3 out of his last 4 starts. Big issue recently has been the cutter. There was a really good piece on MLB.com breaking down some of his recent results. His release point as well. The batting average against the cutter recently, 458. In April and May and June, it was 213 with a 360 slugging percentage. So in July, 458 against him. So gets the Braves this week. Gets the Reds on Sunday. I know we love our two-start pitchers in fantasy leagues, but like, that has a chance to completely ruin your week. So I would, at the very least, I'm not using Mitch Keller, but I think it's justified at this point to just say, you know, it was fun, but no, see you around.
Yeah, and you always knew you weren't going to get wins, or you weren't going to get a lot of wins on the Pirates, so that was already a category against him. So you were looking at him being a 3-category contributor. Yeah. And so now if he's hurting your ratios – it's kind of like what are we doing? Right. You know, unfortunately the cutter, like you mentioned, has been poor. And then it's also like the curve, you know, I'm looking at like barrel rates. The curve, you know, which was a supplementary pitch for him, is getting barreled really hard in July. The barrel rate on the cutter went up, as you mentioned. It's sad. I think it's important to understand also that like the cutter was a new pitch for him.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's not just like, hey, I found the feel for the pitch early and now it will never leave. Sometimes it's that when you haven't thrown it over and over and over again, you just lose it for periods of time. And it doesn't have to be early in the year. I mean, it seems like he's kind of losing the feel for it right now. He may find it again. But again, if you're contending, I don't know that you can wait to find that out.
Right. Totally agree. So we'll get to a pitcher you had, but just a question here about Keller. And I looked at, and maybe it works for the pitcher you're going to mention too, but I looked at some pitchers who are widely available in shallow mixed leagues. So we mentioned Chase Silseth. Seth Lugo is rostered in about half of Yahoo leagues right now. Same for Jack Flaherty, Dean Kramer, Tarek Skubal, Steven Matz, all these guys. It's like, would you dump Keller for any, all, some?
So for Silseth, I would, just across the board. I just think that upside he's flashed is really worth it. I think at this point I'd drop for Matz across the board too. I've always kind of been hesitant to buy in on Steven Matz. I think the fantasy baseball industry has loved him more than his results are worth. Yeah. But lately he's been legitimately very good. Seth Lugo also reshaped his breaking pitches. And so I'm really intrigued by that. I think I'm also kind of playing by matchups here, right? Like
on the surface,
yes, I would drop Mitch Keller for Jack Flaherty. Jack Flaherty gets Houston on Wednesday. So if you're not in a weekly moves league, if you're in a daily moves league, like, I don't know that I'm rushing to pick up Jack Flaherty to face Houston. Yeah. He gets San Diego after that. Like, those are not great starts.
Not easy. Yeah.
I would love to look and see, like, has Chris Sale been rostered yet in my league? Because, you know, he's coming off the IL, and I think his first starts against, like, the Tigers. So, you know, that's pretty interesting.
Another rehab start. Another minor league rehab start.
Yeah, exactly. you know, you've got somebody like Tanner Houck, who is also going to come off the IL and is joining the Red Sox rotation. I think, like, I wrote today in Mixing It Up about Mike Clevinger. I'm kind of intrigued by Mike Clevinger, too. So there are guys, like, there's enough guys out there that I think I'm looking at who they're playing.
Yeah.
If I don't have a stud, and I'm just going to try to go week to week, find the guy until maybe somebody else breaks out. Like, we don't know how people are going to kind of turn those corners.
Right, exactly. And look at who's playing out the string. Look at who's traded off pieces. So, like, don't look at season numbers on the whole. Maybe look at last 2 weeks, last 30 days to kind of find those teams to match up against.
Yeah. I will say, just, again, a little self-promotion for the article that is coming out today. But in really deep leagues, because he hasn't delivered yet. But the Braves signed Yonny Chirinos.
Yeah.
He has drastically changed his pitch mix, where he's throwing his splitter 41% of the time. Now his splitter is his best pitch. This week, if you're in a daily moves league, he gets the Pirates on Tuesday and the Mets on Sunday.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know he hasn't delivered yet, but that's a pretty nice two-start week if you're in a league where you can, you know, make moves on Monday or Tuesday morning. So I think there are enough puzzle pieces like that you can play those out for a guy like Mitch Keller or my guy, who's John Gray, who's also rostered. I looked this morning, in 83% of Yahoo leagues he was rostered in as of this morning. And listen, he left a game in early June with a blister issue. That was on June 12th. Since June 12th, he's made 8 starts. He has a 6.30 ERA with a 4.68 xFIP, so it's not like he's just been fully unlucky. Over that time, he also has a 5.15 Sierra, so not unlucky. His strikeout minus walk rate is just 7% because his strikeouts have basically gone down. And there's a lot of really smart people that have been studying his location metrics and are basically just suggesting that he's kind of, even if he's not walking a lot more people, he's just missing his spots. So something isn't right, and maybe it was just the blister, and maybe it has to do with grip. Maybe it's another injury. Who knows? But he's not the same pitcher. I think we need to acknowledge he's not the same pitcher. And, you know, we've got 2 months now of poor results, and I think it's time, just like with Mitch Keller, to move on and try to, you know, find a weekly streaming option if you can.
Yep. And, you know, we've laid out some good alternatives here, so hopefully – you know, at least a couple of them are available in your leagues. I have another shortstop to mention here, Willy Adames. Looked like the patience was paying off for him. He hit 4 homers over the course of 4 games just before the All-Star break. But Adames is hitting just .161 with 1 home run, 29 strikeouts, and a .497 OPS in 98 plate appearances over his last 23 games. And if you go back even further here, Adames is hitting .184 over his last 64 games. Despite these prolonged struggles, Adames has hit exclusively in the top half or the middle of the lineup with Milwaukee, mostly third, but also second, cleanup, and fifth. Maybe that changes now. Bryce Turang's back. Carlos Santana was out of the roster. There's a chance he could be pushed down really soon. We kind of knew who Adames was coming into the season. Lots of fly balls. Strikeouts, not expecting a high average, but he's fallen into some bad habits this year. In fact, Adames is chasing pitches outside the strike zone more than ever before, And it shouldn't be surprising to see when you chase bad pitches. It impacts the quality of contact that he's making. And Adames is another one of those guys. Like Correa doesn't run very much. 8 steals last year. That was his career high. Has just 4 this year. So you're not getting the speed to offset or salvage the value here. So I'd be looking on the waiver wire. Trevor Story should come off the IL later this week. Ezekiel Duran, he's really struggled recently too, but multi-position eligible. Josh Jung hurt, so Duran's going to play a lot. Wilmer Flores has been swinging a hot bat. Jordan Westberg trending up. Even Zach Eloff with the A's. Some really useful power speed since coming up, and we know he's going to play a lot. So there's options out there in varying depth type of leagues. I would just, again, look past the name recognition and just focus on what you're actually getting.
Can I ask you if you – not that many people are making this decision, but I'm curious, are you dropping – would you drop Correa before Adames? Like, who are you more concerned about with the 2 shortstops you brought up?
I would drop Correa before Adames, personally. I think Adames, at least you get the power-friendly home ballpark. And with how many fly balls Adames hits, like, he's going to put the ball in the air. He's capable of hitting it, like we said, 4 home runs in 4 games. Like, he can win you a week, potentially, if he gets hot. I just don't see Correa doing that at this point.
Yeah, I come down on the same side as you there. And even if he's not stealing a lot, I prefer a little bit of what Adames is doing with the potential to steal bases plus the home runs. Yeah. Other shortstops that are out there, like, you know, over since July 1st, so a little over a month, J.P. Crawford has the 4th best OPS of shortstops with over 80 plate appearances. He's hitting .316. With a .946 OPS over that month span. Look, Ahmed Rosario is playing more with the Dodgers. I mean, you know, he's not giving you a lot, but that lineup, now he's getting the opportunity there. So I think that's pretty interesting. So, you know, there are some possibilities there. I think if you're looking in the immediate, like Paul DeJong is in the Blue Jays lineup. We talked about that. You know, the trade deadline, you know, Bo Bichette's going to be coming back soon. But again, if you're looking for like rest of the week solutions, there are certainly some guys out there.
So we're going to get to some weekend fab and waiver wire pickups. Before we do that, there's no better place to be than in Boston on a Sunday morning, the legendary Fenway Park. We can see if the Red Sox can close the gap for the second wild card spot when they host the Tigers at 11:30 a.m. Eastern on MLB Leadoff. Stream the action live exclusively on Peacock. You mentioned the Red Sox did not have the best of weekends. We'll see how things look with Sale coming back, Trevor Story as well. There is help on the way for the Red Sox at the very least. So let's jump into weekend fab like I was talking about here. And this is always after the trade deadline. There's some interesting pickups to be had, but this wasn't necessarily about trades in some of the leagues that I'm in. One of the most fascinating names that I saw was Davis Schneider comes up with the Blue Jays over the weekend, has like one of the most historic series ever for a rookie. He went for 79 in my Tout Wars mixed draft, which is, you know, at this point in the season, that's a pretty high number. How much are you buying Schneider?
He went for over 300 in my AL Tout Wars, which...
Wow. Well, AL, yeah.
Yeah, which is also like, you know, it was a good reminder for me. It's my first time playing in an only league, and I was like, oh, right. Like, in these leagues, it actually makes sense to save fab money for the end of the year because, like... Yeah. Now, Verlander and Scherzer and Jordan Montgomery and all these guys were eligible, and you're like, oh, okay, so that's why you say that. Listen, I wrote about Davis Schneider like back in May in the Substack I did, which was the Smolski Sunday Tribune, which is now the Sunday Funday stat leaderboard that I do over on Roto-World. And he came up also this week because – his last month in the minors, he had an OPS of 1,174 with six home runs, a 34% hard hit rate. You know, this is a guy who hit 21 home runs and stole nine bases in the minor leagues this year. The contact profile is pretty good. The mustache is incredible if you play in like a mustache-friendly fantasy baseball league. So I'm buying it to the extent that I think he can be a useful fantasy contributor. He's not a top prospect. I don't think he's going to come up and, you know, be like what Matt McClain was doing for the for the Reds. My other question is, when Bo Bichette comes back, do the Blue Jays choose defense or offense?
Right.
Because they could very easily slide Paul DeJong to second base and have pretty elite defensive infield defense. And that could be a logical decision that they make. Obviously, if Schneider keeps hitting like this, they're not going to take him out of the lineup. So I think he's worth a gamble right now. I just think you have to make your bids if you didn't already on Sunday. But like you have to pick him up with the expectation that this isn't guaranteed playing time.
Right. So mentioned Bryce Turang already, went for 22. Michael Massey's been a little bit better recently, also went for 22. I got Brendan Rodgers. I actually have quite a bit of fab. You get rebates for players who you drafted who are injured for the year. So I had quite a few of those. Vinny Pasquantini, one of them that I had a lot of hope in and did not work out. But so I had a lot of fab. So I spent it today or yesterday. Brendan Rodgers, I got, hoping to get some power in my lineup. Carlos Hernandez, the new closer, assumed closer with the Royals. I did have Scott Barlow, so I had to drop Barlow, got Hernandez. So pretty happy with that. Curtis Meade was called up by the Rays. He went for 12 in this league. What do you think of Meade? There's been some speculation that maybe this is more of a temporary thing, but no doubt that Meade can hit.
Yeah, I mean, again, if he wasn't on the Rays, I'd love it. I don't know where he plays regularly because he primarily plays second and third. He would need to bump Isak Paredes out of the lineup. You did see on Sunday that they moved Paredes to first and DH'd Yandy Diaz.
Mm-hmm.
And then put Luke Raley in right. So, like, they'll continue to shuffle things around. I think he probably plays every day against lefties because they don't really like playing Luke Raley against lefties. So they can easily make that shift of, like, putting Meade at third and sliding around the rest of the guys. And then I think maybe – and then he plays, like, a game or two against righties just because the Rays give players time off.
Right.
So what is that? Maybe three, maybe four games a week, depending on how many lefties they get.
Right.
You know, that can be usable, especially if you're in a daily moves league and you can move him in and out. But yeah, it's tough because the Rays, they don't give these prospects long leash, you know,
like right.
Jonathan Aranda, Vidal Brujan, they were highly regarded prospects at one point in time. I know now Meade is thought of much higher than them, but you know, those two guys never really, they got very minimal chances, they didn't deliver, and then that was it.
Right.
Kyle Manzardo got no chance and then got shipped out. So you know, it's hard to see, but I think it's talent worth gambling on.
Right. I agree. So anything stand out in your leagues that you saw as far as bids?
I kind of had to do some like bottom barrel scraping just because of the amount of fab I have. I know you mentioned Carlos Hernandez. So I was closer specking in a few places where, you know, I had Barlow and I had guys like that who I knew were going to lose jobs. Mm-hmm. I did pick up Austin Cox, who's a lefty who got the one save for the Royals since the trade deadline. They used Carlos Hernandez in a high leverage spot in the seventh. So that left the save opportunity for Austin Cox. I don't think he's the closer. I'm making that clear, but I think he could get save opportunities if they use Carlos Hernandez other places.
Right.
I picked up some shares of Sir Anthony Dominguez, who got two saves this week because Kimbrel also got saves, but I think Dominguez is the next guy. So when Kimbrel pitches a lot or, you know, when they have to use him in other situations. I think there's some opportunity for Dominguez. I picked up some shares of Jason Foley in Detroit. Again, not a lot of save opportunities likely, but Alex Lang's control is like totally leaving him. Yeah. And so I think there's a chance they make that move. We alluded to Seiya Suzuki before. I picked up some shares of Mike Tauchman because he's leading off and starting every day for the Cubs. I don't know how long the production's going to keep up, but it's been good so far. So I liked taking that opportunity, especially in leagues where, you know, I had Josh Naylor and had to move on. And then I picked up some Cade Marlowe, who's, you know, playing really well for the Mariners.
Mentioned him a lot.
And is, you know, I thought that he might get pushed aside, but he's proving his worth there. The starting pitcher specs we talked about earlier, you know, I put a dollar bid in. I got Mike Clevenger. Ross Stripling came back and had a good outing. I got him for a dollar in a 15-team league. And then even though we had a bad outing on Sunday, I still believe in Luis Medina. And he's still widely available in a lot of leagues. And that's a guy who, again, his production lately has been the result of a very deliberate pitch change, adding in that sinker. So I still think he's worth adding in most leagues. So I have a couple shares of him as well.
And if you want to ride the hot hand behind the plate, Ryan Jeffers has been great recently. Freddie Fermin with the Royals as well. I saw them picked up in quite a few leagues over the weekend. So, you know, we're kind of talking about breaking up with players. I mean, catcher is a spot where if you don't have one of the elite guys, you could definitely play the hot hand. So those are two who stood out to me.
Yeah, and I think people are still not really buying in on Gary Sanchez. He's available in far too many leagues based on the production he's had. That's his job, and he looks great, which is shocking to me right now. But that's the situation we're in, and I think, you know, he's definitely worth rostering in most places. I mean, like, you know, I have a league where I'm starting him over, you know, Salvador Perez because he's just been flat out better right now. I don't know that you're like dropping Sal Perez, but, you know, Gary Sanchez deserves to be rostered rather than most people. And then another guy I'd add to is Matt Wallner is still playing every day for the Twins and hitting in the middle of that lineup. And there's a significant amount of power there. So I'm still riding that while I can. They're playing him versus lefties and righties right now as a left-handed hitter. So that's intriguing too in deep leagues.
Good stuff. Hopefully we mentioned some names here who are out there on the waiver wire in your leagues. Probably chances are that they are, especially people turning their attention to fantasy football. Remember to subscribe to Circling the Bases wherever you get your podcasts. And actually find all of your favorite NBC sports shows on Amazon Music. Just head to amazon.com/NBC Sports. Also, do yourself a favor and check out the RotoWorld Football Show, the training camp underway. Fantasy football prep running wild right now. Again, like I said earlier, pick up the RotoWorld Fantasy Football Draft Guide. And if you're at the Fantasy Football Expo this weekend in Canton, Ohio, come say hi to us. We're going to have a booth. We'll be hanging out. Look forward to seeing everyone out there. Follow us on Twitter or X if you don't already. Eric is at SamskyNYC on Twitter. I'm at DJ Short. Take care, everyone. We will see you next time.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.